Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, before we start our show, I wanted to give you a word from our new sponsor. I don't know if you heard, but apparently former NBA player Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain. You know, I was reading this press release about how he started taking pH balancing alkaline supplement called Balance 7. And that's what supposedly helped him bounce back from his hospitalizations in 2015. He even said, I have enormous amount of energy, which is good for me. And it's important when working out. I always need energy in order to level up. I obviously, as a Taekwondo practitioner, couldn't agree with Lamar more. And after watching him fight Aaron Carter in July in that celebrity boxing match, I think it's safe to say maybe Balance 7 is working for him. The cool thing is that we've got a promotion running with Balance 7 right now, where if you go there to their website, balance7.com, and you use the code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, our podcast network, at the checkout, you'll receive a free 4-ounce bottle of My Smooth Skin with any purchase of Balance 7 products. That product itself retails at $13.99, so no matter what, it's worth it. Again, if you head over to balance7.com, you use our code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, at the checkout, you get in on the promotion. And I know you will. If it worked for Lamar, it can work for you too. And I'll be giving you my update on my Balance 7 experience real soon. So my name is Mark Sirianis. This is Taekwondo Life Magazine. We are a member, of course, we mentioned it in the opening, of the Believe Sports Network. Believe is the number one sports and podcast network for professionals. Today, always exciting show, but today particularly exciting. I don't have access and the opportunity all the time to speak to some of the really famous guests. We try to balance it here between Taekwondo practice, the martial arts aspect, entertainment. And you guys know that I always try to bring you the best martial arts movies, movie reviews, and entertainment. Well, today's guest is the famed director, Martin Campbell. Now, if you don't know the name Martin Campbell, you certainly know his films. Casino Royale, probably the greatest of the James Bond films starring Daniel Craig. He did GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan. He did the Green Lantern franchise film, a film called Vertical Limit. And he did a film that we reviewed last year called The Foreigner, which stars Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan. And we gave a great review to it. If you've never seen that movie, it's unlike anything that Jackie Chan has ever been in. Pierce Brosnan is excellent. It's about the NRA and terrorism in Great Britain, a really phenomenal dramatic action film. I spoke to Martin this week about his new upcoming film, which comes out August 30th from Lionsgate, called The Protégé. We had the opportunity to screen The Protégé, and we'll give our review of that in an upcoming week. It comes out August 30th around the world. The Protégé stars Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Keaton, and relative newcomer. She's not a newcomer, but she's a newcomer to starring in a film, Maggie Q. This is a phenomenal, John Wick-like in many respects, action adventure film. It has many of the elements of Martin Campbell's other films in it. and I think you'll really enjoy it. This conversation, we talk a little bit about that film, about some of his selections, and about a topic that is always important to me, and I think to our audience, and that is the elevation of action and martial arts action in movies, so that movies that are good movies, that have good drama, good script, the action shouldn't suffer. And in movies that are action films, they shouldn't simply be where you fast forward through the plot and dialogue just to see the action. This movie is a well-integrated, well-balanced action-adventure flick that I think you're going to love. It's called The Protégé from Lionsgate Films. Its director talks to us today, Martin Campbell. And this episode, like so many of our episodes, is presented to you by Bet Online. If you're into sports betting, Bet Online is where you should go with your money today. Whether it's live bets during games or futures for who you think will win the championships, Bet Online has all the odds, the news, and the information for your online sports betting needs. I was actually out to dinner last week with a group of Taekwondo practitioners, and they told me that they actually, from our program, they actually signed up for Bet Online and they really love it. They can't believe how good it is. And I know you'll have the same experience. When you visit today with your mobile device or online, you join, you receive your 50% welcome deposit with your first deposit, your welcome bonus with your first deposit. So before the next big game, head over to Bet Online and start playing today. That's Bet Online. Your online sportsbook experts, betonline.ag. Enjoy this program with Martin Campbell. Look for The Protégé in theaters August 30th and look for our review in the next week or two. I look forward to seeing you on the mat. We are talking today to director Martin Campbell, the director of such great films as The Foreigner, Casino Royale, GoldenEye, Vertical Limit, Green Lantern, and the newest film starring Maggie Q, Samuel L. Jackson, and Michael Keaton, the film we're talking about today, The Protégé. Martin, thank you so much for talking to us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Tell me simply what attracted you to this project.
I was fascinated by the script. I thought that the for this type of movie, I thought the script was was really good, really good characters, and a narrative that is unusual for this type of film, because it's a story that you're never quite sure where it's headed, has a lot of surprises in it, and It was really there, because a lot of these movies, particularly sort of female action pictures, I guess male action pictures, the stories are pretty mundane. It relies on the action so much, if you see what I mean, that this was unusual in that it was a fascinating storyline and fascinating characters.
Well, that's interesting, and it leads sort of into my next question, which is that for this film, which seems to be a common thread in The Foreigner and in Casino Royale, you have a script, dialogue, and drama, and action, and fight choreography that are all on a high level. They're all on par. And one of the things you pointed out is 100% correct. Sometimes it's, you know, a great script and great drama, and the action suffers. Sure. The other way around. Martial arts classically have great martial arts scenes and the dialogue. This film and those other films, it is very, very much on par. So tell me a little bit about that in terms of the process of the film, in terms of putting it together. Was that something that was in your mind consciously in terms of the execution of the project?
Yeah, you know, these movies stand or fall on the action is one thing, but also their characters, you know, the relationships and the characters. That was really paramount in this, establishing between Sam Jackson and Maggie, this kind of father-daughter relationship. And of course, you know, above all, the Keaton relationship, which was, tonally, it had to be in the right area. It had to have the humor and the sparks going between them, if you will. And for me, that was the most important thing in the movie, was to try and achieve that. Both superb actors, well, the whole three of them were, but certainly Michael and Maggie, in terms of their relationship there, I think they pulled it off very successfully.
Well, I would agree. And one of the strengths, I think, of the film in seeing it, and I saw it twice, is there is a chemistry between Michael Keaton and Maggie Q that really, there's a great connection there, and it jumps off the screen. Is that something in the Inception that you expected? Is it something that evolved along the way, or is it something that really you were had a hand in crafting? Because it really is probably unique in how strong their chemistry is for the scenes that they are on, that they share.
Yeah, look, I think it was always there in the original script. The relationship between them and the tone of it was always there in the original script. Now, we did quite a lot of work on character work and stuff like that, and also on the action. But really what Richard Wenk, he kind of created those characters, and it was always there on the page. So it was just a matter of getting the balance right when we did it, you know, to see what the actors would bring to the party. And really just being, I guess, truthful to, you know, the way the script was originally written.
Now, Maggie Q, it seems to me that it's a perfect vehicle for her. She's really ideal in the role. Is that something that evolved, that the film was built around crafting it to meet her strengths, or did she rise up to that challenge to meet the character? Because it really is. It seems that I couldn't think of a film where you could have plugged anyone in more effectively than she is in this role.
Well, she rose to it, quite honestly. The point is that when I cast her, I only knew her as I'd seen some material with her. I'd never heard of her before that. And I saw some material that she, with her acting, which I thought was terrific. I had no idea of her background in terms of action, which I subsequently learned was obviously a big plus for us. And she loved the part. And really, she rose to the occasion. That's what it was. She really worked very hard, right? And she did terrifically well with it. You know, all credit to her.
The flip side of that relationship is you have Michael Keaton, who certainly in his younger days he shocked the world in terms of his ability to do action in the Tim Burton Batman film, but a guy who's not necessarily known for fight and action choreography. He certainly aged some since Batman, but yet in this role he also is very adept. Many fight scenes in which he is it's clearly him there doing the choreography. How did that evolve? How you know, it was really somewhat shocking to me, pleasantly so, but shocking to me when I saw the film.
Yeah, the thing is that you know Michael was not as adept, obviously, as Maggie, as he would be the first to tell you. But those fight scenes are worked out very carefully. They're rehearsed. You know, Michael rehearses on his days off and so forth. There's a, you know, you have to, those scenes, you have to know exactly what you're doing. So, you know, and what you want is an actor that commits to that. You know, some actors are a little reluctant to get involved in action and stuff because, you know, they'll say to you, well, can you use my double? Well, in this case, no, I'm not going to let you use your double. You do it yourself. And Michael sort of, he really relished sort of doing it and trying to do it right. So you're absolutely right. I didn't double him that much. You know, he had rehearsed this stuff. He knew what he was doing. And obviously the slightly more dangerous moments, sure, you can't put an actor in that situation because any injury would be a disaster. So, but he did do, he did do a lot of his own stuff.
Now, I had heard today which I was unaware of previously, that Maggie had come into the film after a fairly serious surgery to her back.
Yes.
How did that impact the fight and stunt choreography as it related to her? Because again, she is all over the place in this film. Tremendous fighting, tremendous stunts, very visually up front. Were there adjustments that needed to be made, or did she was she able to power through?
Yeah, she powered through. There was, to be honest, she you wouldn't have known that she had had that problem. She simply came on, and I didn't know it for a while at all. But she was never ever did she back away from it because of her operation.
That's incredible. It's incredible to see the film and then hear. I heard that story afterward, and it's certainly not noticeable. When you certainly wouldn't think to yourself, there's somebody who just came out of a back surgery. So pretty impressive.
I know, because back surgery, God, that can be tricky.
Certainly. Now, you know, we're in an environment where films are seen in so many different types of medium, particularly over the course of the pandemic. Much of the stuff was tailored towards small screens, people's homes, things of that nature. Again, I had the ability to screen this on the big screen and in a smaller screening, and the film holds up in both of those environments. Yet, in terms of when you made the film, was there a particular mindset as a director? Do you think to yourself of the film on how it will show on the large screen, or is it irrelevant to you?
Well, to be honest, you always think of it going on the large screen. You know, that's the point when you make it. You're not thinking about the television screen. You always, and don't forget, you know, when we made this, COVID was really in its early stages. So I've always considered all my movies going on the big screen. Of course, they get, you know, of course they get sold to television and TV later on, but it's I always just make them for the big screen. That's really
it certainly visually is a stunning film, and like I said, it certainly played out well on both of those sure. both of those vehicles. One of the things that we've in our conversations with people on film today seems to be, unless you have the monstrous budgets of some of these films, that one of the great concerns, particularly in action films and films where fight choreography and stunts are needed, is that the amount of time to make a film, there's so much more pressure to make a film quickly and come under budget and yet still be able to deliver a product that's high. Certainly on a film that's largely a drama or a family type piece, less of an issue. But in a film like The Protégé, which is such an unbelievable, got such unbelievable action stunts. How did that play out in this film? Did you feel that you had adequate time to be able to prep the actors for the stunts and things?
Yeah, you know, it's by sort of studio terms, a very low budget on it. You know, if I had to do it again with a ton more money, it wouldn't be a much different film. It honestly wouldn't. The action is the right balance, I think, for the movie. There's no huge CGI numbers, or yes, there's an explosion at the end, but beyond that, to be honest, the action is simply what is required for the story. And you know, always with action, you go in thinking, well, how are we going to make this a little bit different? How can we make it a little more interesting? What haven't I seen 500 times before with action? So that's the mindset you go into. To be honest, I think with the action scenes in Protégé, I think they're all the right length. And I think they're those scenes are, I wouldn't make them any bigger, for example, if I had twice the budget.
That's interesting. That's very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Tell me about, you've been involved in films that are part of franchises, right? So like the Bond films, mm-hmm. You've been involved in films that are part of this superhero universe, like mm-hmm. Green Lantern, but then mm-hmm. you're involved in a film like this, which is a standalone. It's an independent as it relates to those types of things.
Sure.
Does your approach to the action, the fight choreography, is it the same or is it different when it comes to doing a film like Protégé than it is to looking at those other two?
You know, the action is depending on what your story is. Like, for example, on Zorro, there's a lot of sword fighting. You know, obviously, it's all about sword fighting, and it's, do you know what I mean? That's what it's about. So the sword play has to be interesting, and it has to apply to the character of Zorro the same way I think that in Protégé, the action is correct for Maggie and, you know, for the fighting that they do. So really, and, you know, in Bond, it's obviously Bond is larger than life and the action scenes are much bigger, if you will. But that's right for those movies, because in Bond, you always start off by saying, well, what hasn't the audience ever seen before? Okay, they haven't seen a tank chase. Well, let's put a tank chase in. You know, let's charge through St. Petersburg and destroy half the city. Okay, that's a good. And, right. You know, in Casino, it was, well, have we seen a parkour chase? That no, we haven't, because parkour at the time we made that was, you know, becoming a big sure. thing. So, you know, that's what you adapt. It's a foot chase, but it's the way it develops and so forth is pretty exciting. And, you know, at the end, how about a sinking house? Have we ever seen that before? No. Okay, let's do one where they're in Venice and so on and so forth. So all of those scenes are sort of adapted to the story, as it were, and I think are right for the story. You know, just to do a whole, there's nothing worse than action that is unmotivated, is not character related, and there's just a chunk of action. You just get bored rigid by it. By that, you know, and by the way, the audience have seen this so many times, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Another car chase and I'll scream. I remember on Bond, the scene where she gets kidnapped and he goes after her and they roll the Aston Martin. That was written as a long car chase through a forest. And I remember saying, this is the most boring sequence I've ever read. How about we have a car chase that's not a car chase? So let's cut all that bullshit, you know, with the thing, and let's do it like this, you know.
Right, right.
They put the girl in the middle of the road. He flips the bloody thing and, you know, ends up knocking himself out and et cetera, et cetera. Do you know what I mean? So you adapt it to, but the audience have seen just about everything. And car chases being about the most boring, I think, at the moment. I've seen them all. You know.
Sure, sure. I agree. Now, one of the other things, one of the threads, and you talked about this a little bit, but your films have a tendency to be very adult. They're very gritty. They're very violent in many respects, but yet there is a balance of humor that comes through. Certainly in this film, there were moments that I actually laughed out loud. Is that a product of your personality and what you try to bring to the table, or is that a product of the script writer or the actors? Tell me a little bit about that.
I think it's everybody. You know, the point is that the certainly Richard wrote it with a sense, it certainly had a sense of humor. And I remember it's things like, for example, in the cell where Michael comes out, walks out, and he goes up to the really thicko kind of henchman and says, you know, where do you buy your suits, right? Well, yeah, so originally he would come out and just say it directly to him. And I would say to him, Michael, what you do is you go off, you disappear for 3 seconds, and then you reappear. That'll make it funnier, right? So it's that kind of, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
We fiddled about with, you know, timing is everything in comedy. So it's that type of thing that we adapted to, although the line itself was written by Richard Wenk, who wrote the script. So that's the kind of, you know, that's how you develop it, and that's how it works. Or you do alternatives, you know, that's the other thing. Maybe it'll work better this way. Will it work better that way? Okay, let's just shoot 3 different versions of it and see which works best. So, you know, that's the type of thing you do.
Similarly, in terms of the action, so you've worked with some folks that, you know, in The Foreigner, which is a really terrific film, working with somebody like Jackie Chan, who is probably one of the most experienced action, sure. both actors, directors, choreographers. And then you work with Maggie Q, who has a, unlike Michael Keaton, she has a background in action.
Oh, yeah, very
much. And
in
stunts. How much of a role do they play in terms of the choreography and the execution of that choreography?
Well, I think Maggie probably had something to say. The point is that's all rehearsed off screen, as it were, before we actually shoot it. So what I would do is sit with the stunt arranger and I'd say, right, this is where the fight should be. this is what it's about, right? And what he would do is he'd come up with some choreographer. And now what stunt arrangers do is they actually tape all this stuff. They put it, you know, they shoot it. And then they edit it. They've all become editors, these guys. And then they put some awful music on it. Now you watch this thing. And it's really good because you can actually see the whole fight in sure. real time and so forth. And then, you know, you can give your notes and say, this is what I want. We can really, we don't need to go from there two steps and then back to there. We can go straight to, it's that kind of thing. And then he rehearses the actors in their days off and so forth, which they have to be, they have to know, obviously, because it's dangerous. These things, you could sure. just, you know, someone swings a gun and you don't duck low enough and you get hit on the side of the head, even if it's a rubber gun. You know what I mean? It's kind of, and then we come to the day and now everybody at least knows what's going on. It's now a matter of refining those scenes, right? Making sure that the action is as sharp as you want it. And that takes some building into sometimes, you know, just to get the actors to sort of really wind into it and, you know, really give it 100%. Particularly after a while, they obviously get tired, you know, it's difficult, that stuff.
Sure.
And physically demanding. So, and that's the way it works, basically. So Michael didn't really have anything to do, unless it was a move that was impossible for him. Do you know what I mean? A move, a twist, a flow, whatever it may be, that he just simply was uncomfortable doing because he couldn't really achieve it. Then you would adapt it, if you see what I mean. So, okay, we do this, this, and that's good. Maggie, on the other hand, even in rehearsals, I'm sure she had some influence on it. But they were broadly speaking mapped out by the stunt arranger. And I simply either modified them, refined them, or adjusted them and asked for these adjustments. And sometimes that worked, sometimes it didn't. So, you know, that's the way it works.
Thank you so much. Martin Campbell, director of The Protégé, I thank you so much for speaking to us. I expect great things from this film. I believe that the public will receive it really in ways that they've received other films like John Wick and films of a similar genre. So thank you for talking to Taekwondo Life magazine, and I look forward to talking to you in future projects.
It's a great pleasure.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.